We're listening to people in opposition to the public representation today. Our next up is Jacqueline Clement. Are you here, sir? Okay. Len Van Roon? Len's not here. Is he outside? Okay. And Steve Coates, those are the three people I have. So, Ms. Clement, you can proceed when you wish.
Thank you. All right, so I have come in opposition, so I am opposed to this, just because we need a little bit more time. I am speaking on behalf of the Charleswood Historical Society. I sit as the second vice president, and I've also been meeting with the, I call them the CM3, but apparently we were renamed to the three groups of Charleswood. And a couple of things I just wanted to address was that they spoke to option 2B as an option, so where they saved some of the oaks. I just wanted to address this roadway here. Does that not dissect a bunch of trees in that area as well? Because to my understanding, that whole area where is public reserve has a lot of trees in it as well. So how come there's a value of $400,000 to remove the trees from Van Roon Drive there and not in that area? Also, the city puts a number on trees as far as what they are worth, and the big blue stem or wetland is not really addressed as much. There's no dollar figure on that. So just kind of speaking towards that. So just some clarification on what are the trees worth that they moved that road to there, and what would be the value of the blue stem if they were to keep the road in option one. Also, Charleswood Historical Society has an archaeological study that we are performing right now, which we have raised a lot of money to do so. And we will have more information on that. We're meeting with them on the 28th of February. That is, a lot of that is looking at the old cart trail, the Red River cart trail, that actually is one of the oldest trails in Western Canada. And it actually runs right along Area 2 and Area 1. So it runs right straight down along the backside of the landowners there. So that's something that we are kind of hoping to get done, and we need a little bit more time as far as being able to have our study in and know what we're looking at for that. Another thing, too, is active transportation. So looking at the path to nowhere again, as we were talking about at the bottom. So just getting a little bit more information of what the cost would be either for the developer, the city, the province to go under there to connect to Adrenaline Adventures, because Jason is right in saying that people will die there crossing that road, especially if we're putting a lot of new multifamily housing and housing there. So that's a big concern of mine and for the community. And yeah, just costing out. If we're doing an overpass there to get there or doing an underpass, who's paying for that? Like, what is it? Before we even go anywhere, we need to know how people are going to get there, because we don't want to have a bunch of houses going in and nowhere to cross. So that is another concern that I did have. And also another thing with, we did have a trail actually. We met with Landmark Planning, and thank you for meeting with us, by the way. It's been good. We've got a lot of things changed, and we've met, and we've made a lot of good headway. So I'm not saying that this is anything to do with you guys. But they removed also the Red River Trail that we had in the other meeting in September when we came here. There actually was a trail there that has been removed representing the oldest Red River cart trail in Western Canada. So just kind of looking at that and getting our study or having an alternative to that would be something that we would like to have some more information on. So we just need more time. I'm not saying that I'm opposed to building here. I think that it is going to be great for the community. So thank you for listening to me. Any questions?
Any questions for Jacqueline? No. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Lynn Van Roon, come on down.
Lynn Van Roon, 1018 Charleswood Road, sorry. I'm going to speak first as president of Charleswood Historical Society and following Jacqueline very briefly. I have four copies of a survey that we did. There was 109 positive responses at Charleswood Historical Society and three negative that were good. And I'll be pointing out number one, number two, and number seven. We did pass a motion to ask for more time, as Jacqueline said. We have a $7,000 study coming in on the 7th, and we felt very strongly about the old Pembina Trail. We are looking at options to recognize it in a different way, but this was a new change to take 30 feet, remove it that would have been access, and we have seven different property owners to go by in Area 2. So to be able to move with continuity, we had asked for the 39 acres of Area 2 only gets 3 acres of parkland and green space, and what we were doing was trying to have a trail that would recognize this extremely important trail that for 50 years, as it says in our notes, 50 years went from the passage at Berkeley Street all the way down to the LaSalle River for one day's travel. And it is one of the most important. We're having our study look all the way to the LaSalle River to set the context for this going through Ridgewood South. We also had bison and First Nations hunters for 6,000 to 8,000 years go right through the same area. And we will look at another way to recognize this because we don't see a viable habitat trail. It's just been removed. Hurts our feelings a little bit after working on it for 2 years and consulting, but we will look at Old Pembina Trail Park or some other options. The problem here is logistical. When you have 39 acres of property, your green space is going to be 3 acres or less with seven different property owners. And we have 180 plus acres and 14, 15 acres of green space, a lot of it not by habitat, not with heritage, but beside nice little lakes, and it's green space. We certainly thank the efforts that are made to recognize the importance of Bluestem, which is new, and the developers worked very hard on it. I'll speak to that in a minute when I step down from my Historical Society chair. But recognizing old oaks, recognizing Bluestem, recognizing heritage, it's hard to do when you've got open field of 180 to 200 acres with nice pathways, and then you've got a 39-acre area that has there's less than 2% of high-quality habitat in all of Ridgewood South, and a lot of it resides in this little area, too. You can't do this on the back of the property owners and save the oaks and save the unplowed meadows and do it without some assistance from the other areas. So again, another logistical problem. What do you do when you have an area of 200 acres that only has 5 acres, which, thank you very much, Landmark Planning in Qualico, you've recognized 3.9 to 4.8 acres close to the Hart Trail with some Bluestem and some oaks. But then we've got 39 acres that's loaded with 200-year-old oaks and unplowed prairie, and we just don't have and a heritage cart trail. So I will, I'll just deliver these after. Point number eight, we did a survey, and out of our 8 questions, the first was asking permission for Charleswood Historical to work with what people felt about working with Friends of the Hart Trail and CCHP to gain consensus was unanimous in our 109 replies. The moving of the old Pembina habitat, the old Pembina Trail, people were disturbed about, but they really want to recognize that in some way. It's very important to them. That was unanimous. I'm going to jump up to, for your reading, you can look at the other things that, and these were all done. We passed a motion that said we need a little more time. We have a $7,000 study coming in. We haven't met with active transportation yet. We're in the middle of a number of processes. Some of our joint committee meetings with CCHP and Hart Trail, which are really going well and getting some constructive information, have met only once or haven't met at all. So it's the start of a process. We think it's too early. Number seven. Would you like the community and the historical society to have more time to evaluate our heritage habitats, such as big blue stud grassland, natural wetlands, and oak, and popular forests? Or are you satisfied we've been given enough time and information? And we just think it's pushing things a little bit too fast. So this tree allowance people are talking about, where there was the 400,000, I didn't like it, but I could have lived with it. 425,000 in tree penalties. There's 486 trees, roughly, oak trees, just on the road allowance. There's another 600 to 700 trees between the road allowance and the edge of the field. So you're looking 1,400 oaks. None of them are the 200-year-old oaks. They're between 75 and 110 years. So we applaud measures made to make this change, but at the same time, the changes that are made here, which pay respect to the blue stem and to the old oaks, they really disrespect someone else. And if I could just leave these to pass on. We saw this fellow standing in the big blue stem at 92 years of age, who spoke very eloquently here, and I think a change has been made. That's Mr. Van Roon, my father. And we had two plans, and now I'm not speaking as president of Charleswood Historical. I'm speaking on behalf of my sisters, my father, who's 92. We have letters from them. If I have time, I'll read them. Otherwise, we'll go through, and you'll just have to read their very strong objections. They submit that damage has been done. They submit that this is not a minor change for 1,000 feet of property ownership along the border of Area 1 and every Area 2. It's not a minor change, it's a major change. That's not supposed to happen. I got my notification of this, and thank you, Donovan. He's been giving me a heads up that something was being looked at. Actually, this is the map that our three groups used that said, could we move the road up? But I spoke strongly at our meeting, and I'm sorry that the Friends of the Heart Trail and the CCHP didn't listen a little more carefully, because we had two routes where there was a northern access. We have 7 property owners in Area 2, so we might be waiting for 5 years or 10 years or 12 years when there's a development plan before everybody agrees. If the plan's put in place, somebody might not want to build on one of the 7. So it's a little more complicated. And even though the planners may have said, there's access on Charleswood Road, sure there is. One of my neighbors is here with me. There's an access through my house, the house that I will inherit, and through her house. That's the only two accesses, unless we take another new home and take it out, on the Charleswood Road site. There's one access down here, because you're not supposed to landlock, according to policy. You're not supposed to landlock adjacent properties and do injury to them and damage them for the future development prospects. There's one access here. If we develop lots in a portion of this, being sensitive to the environment, and our development plan has people that have to come all the way out here, it's got to be done in concert with 6 other major property owners to get out. So we submit, and I don't know if there's a legal challenge to this or not, but we absolutely submit that there will be injury and there will be damages. And what do we require to make this something that we can be so proud of, with my dad standing in the blue stem and speaking for keeping some blue stem, a bigger piece of it, and some of the oaks? What we need is 1.5 lots, and maybe I can ask a question of administration and have that clarified. 42 feet a lot. If we have a road that accesses this, maybe 20 people would use it, maybe 35. It's going to be from 39 acres, which might not be developed for 5, 10, or 15 years. The other two plans had an access that came out. Van Roon Drive was one, and the other came out and connected with the street. And the streets are still here in this plan. So if you have 1.5 streets that comes down and is a future connection that we might not use for 5 years or 8 years, then we're not landlocked. We don't have to work with 7 other people. And my father at 92 and my sisters can be really proud that this change has been made to keep blue stem up at the top that could be 100 to 300 years old. and to keep 486. I counted them roughly because the fellow from forestry who gave me an appraisal, they just marked this a week ago. We didn't know where the Van Roon Road allowance was. I knew roughly. And his clipboard dropped off the car. So he didn't have exact numbers, but when he did his estimate of 425,000, it was based on counting these nice oak trees. So what do we need? You tell me how many feet it is, but if it's 55 feet, which I think the current Van Roon Drive is, one undeveloped lot that's in access, and we have so much pride for what CCHP and the Hart Trail and Charleswood Historical were all working towards with this plan to save more. Without it, we probably have a lawsuit. We will crush somebody who stood here and believed in preserving habitats, but do we have to preserve habitat at a cost? I mean, people won't pay $400,000 and $25,000 because you have to pay for the trees. But if we take this shortcut, and I guess my last point would be, it is a shortcut, because I found out about this plan with real respect for Donovan for giving myself and Barb and a few of the groups heads up that they were working hard on something, 5:31 yesterday, and then I had to get on the phone and start emailing my sisters in Texas and Toronto, who are executors of our state, and try and talk to them about what's happening. And the first thing they said is, this is not a minor change. We're not supposed to have a major change like this that could adversely affect us. And so, as I say, if you tell me that the cost of a lot and a half or two lots, but in the scope of a development of 180 acres, if we could make the change of retaining one road access with option one, and which option one and option two had, then it's something we can all be proud of. I feel badly because I made sure that some of the other people in the groups knew about this, and I expressed at the meeting, I said, what a great plan, but we have to have a road access. And the other groups were not respectful of my 92-year-old dad or me. They just ignored that point. So much good work's been done. I invite questions on this, but I really think that this should be reviewed to look at what it would cost to put a road access in so that development can occur again. There's seven property owners that have to agree, 39-acre spot where it's full, that's teeming with some really wonderful prairie and oak, much more than the percentage in other areas that's been recognized. That's what I ask you to do. One final question or point. It's just a query about drainage, because oaks die if they're not drained. And on the road closing, I'm not sure exactly what's happening on the Charleswood Road end. But when you come to Charleswood Road right here on this edge, if there's a ditch in there right now that's instrumental in draining 200-year-old oaks and a whole patch of oaks for Van Roon Drive, and I would just ask whether or not that drainage ditch will be retained. Donovan did mention in his presentation that maybe the Van Roon right-of-way would be a wonderful piece at some point to put a trail in, and you wouldn't have to worry about crossing a road. Well, I'll make this my final point, and thanks, because I had to speak to two things, so it was a little bit tough. But if we have 23 cars coming out of this little development, or 31, I don't think anyone cares if they're crossing one access road, if they decide to put a trail in there at some point. It would be so limited in terms of traffic, but it allows us to develop without relying on a lot of other people. And I think we're making a little bit of a mistake when we just count crossings, because when you've got 6,000 or 11,000 people crossing at a very busy intersection like Charleswood Road, we need to look at the numbers. So in closing, if there aren't any questions, I would really like to see this plan work so that First Nations people do something by consensus. They don't just vote and get the most numbers as fast as they can. This has been going on for the last 3 or 4 days. I've been sending emails at 1 in the morning and 2:30 in the morning when I get things. This is not the proper way to do a consultation, and as much as Charleswood Historical Society wants more time, if we had another month to sit down and talk and have my dad speak to these groups, I think we could have come up with something that respected our right to not be damaged or injured in our development potential down the line. It just came too fast with all the scrambling that other people are saying, thank you so much for scrambling so hard. I'm not really impressed with it because I think somebody got cut out, and that was a 92-year-old man who's been in the same residence since the 1920s, so for over 80 years. And there's 1,000 feet that we're dealing with here. That's the whole one edge of Area 2. So please take that into consideration. Are there any questions?
Anybody? No? We'll ask the questions when they come back and respond.
Okay. Yeah, I would really like to know what costs we're actually talking about if the road access for that little bit that might not even be developed for 5 to 10 years would be left in place. And I have copies here of statements I wasn't able to read from Mr. Van Roon, signed by him and from his two sisters.
Thank you. Thanks, Lynn. Steve Coates. Yeah, that'd be great. Registered for information, I guess.
All right, anybody else in opposition? Anybody else in opposition like to speak? Seeing none, I guess we'll invite the applicants to come back. And Donovan, I'm sorry, I've got a couple here for information. Hang on, Donovan. I've got so many files here with Destiny. Annette Schiller? I'm sorry? Okay. And you just wanted information, correct? Richard Wind? Okay. And Ron Parkinson? Information. Okay. There you go. All right, Donovan. That was quick.
Is it okay if Eric Wogan goes first?
Sure.
Thanks. Heard a number of issues raised here. I'd like to address them in the order where they came up. Talk was Jason Rose. The issue of an overpass or pedestrian overpass at the perimeter is perhaps an extravagant thought, but it's certainly an expensive one. The reality of the available underpass, or what we think is available at Wilkes, is right there. We have we've achieved a similar underpass improvement at Concordia under Highway 59, working with the city and doing some work there to make sure that it was a quality crossing of a major road. The councillor in the area, because the other side was also Winnipeg, basically levered the initiative we took and got that path all the way to the Concordia Hospital from where we took it to the other side of Highway 59. And we think those sorts of possibilities are available there with cooperation from Headingley or whoever else benefits from getting up there. But we think this practical answer is available. And we further believe, don't cross here at the Hart Trail. Go down, take the new route, and get under there, and don't worry about getting hit by a car. Is a pretty sensible message. Barb Hutton talked about, I guess, increased traffic over the Hart Trail, and we very much appreciate the Hart Trail's existence, and where we do cross it, we have plans to incorporate wayfinding tools that will let people know where they are, and we also think that some sort of if you will, traffic baffle for high-speed cyclists or something like that might be a smart idea. There's already something in place in those areas, and we'll look to enhance that. Alan Roberts brought up a very practical point of view. If he gets a bunch more land, there will be fewer developable acres, and the cost of transport would increase by percentage. So if I get the chance to sell him any land, I will sell him land with transportation levy costs included. That's practical, but I see, I understand where he's coming from, and that may be an impact. There's no doubt about it. His comments that the Wilkes intersections would also benefit lands to the south. I think one thing we've learned over the last couple of years is that the Wilkes right-of-way, or the Wilkes Road right now, is not the ultimate answer for development south of Wilkes, and there will be a new major road, and we expect Wilkes to become a more local road in the fullness of time. His point that the city should be prepared to step up and pay for a large share of work on Wilkes and intersections. I love the idea, but I don't think Cindy's going to agree. Victoria McDonald brought up the slight under dedication. Basically, we are under dedicated in this area by about an acre. Our open areas that we're providing in the public realm are about 21 acres, I believe, working out to about 12% of the area. 5% of that, 12.4, 5% of that is in the form of wetlands and impoundments. The rest is public reserve at about 7.4%. 0.6% is about 1 acre. That's what we owe Charleswood right now, and we're ready to deal with that in a manner that suits this committee and the community. Darlene addressed the no man's land issue between the fence and the CN line along the south side of the development. I did hurry through that part of the presentation. What we are proposing is something that's generally along the guidelines that have been provided originally by the city. We're proposing a berm that will rise 2.5 meters plus backyard and put a 6-foot fence on there. This 6-foot fence at the top of that berm would be on private property and the responsibility of homeowners to take care of. By the time you take the backyard slope and the berm and a 6-foot fence, this fence is up beyond eave height of a bungalow home and quite substantial. However, the problem with the creation of a berm on the private property is that, of course, it's got to get back to native grade at the CN property line. We're well acquainted with CN's lack of willingness to increase grades or allow others to improve their land. They want it left as is. Their land is basically a free fire zone. I don't know how, a fire-free zone. They will scarify it. They will make sure it's not going to have any brush around it that could get sparks from rails. It's basically a pretty hard scrabble area. The practical matter here is that this no man's land, the city is not willing to take it on as non-credit public reserve. However, it is going to be there. And as James Veach points out, a low-impact growth can be encouraged there, and we're ready to take that on. I think implanting such things as hardy native grasses on that slope is something that we have done elsewhere. We've done that on the edges of St. Vitale along the perimeter, and we can work on something like that and find out what kind of other vegetation can survive along those berms, and we'll make that work. It's going to have to be done in cooperation with the homeowners, who may in turn have to agree to not access that area for putting their own mattresses over the fence, but treat it with respect as their property. But on the other hand, they're going to complain that they've got extra property they're paying taxes on they got no access to. So a bit tricky, but I think it's the only possible solution that works.
Yeah. So, Eric, just a quick question on the fence line. So you're saying instead of just having the dual fences that you're talking
about... No, we have to do dual fences. We need to do a fence that that gives the comfort and security to the homeowners. But the CN requirement for a fence at the edge of their property is apparently unassailable. Their rights relative to that of the city, you may know, are quite strong. If they say they want it, I think we have to acquiesce. So I don't see any other solution. We've bounced it around.
So you need agreement essentially from the neighbor, which is CNN,
and we're not going to get CNN to move on leaving that property or having anything else on that property other than what's there now.
Okay.
And we speak with some experience on that. This work also applies to the comments that Alan Roberts and Otto had brought up. The issue of trains is they're there, and as we know from South Tuxedo, we sold some land along the rail line there, and we had very insubstantial berms there. But the fact is, the vibration is what you notice when you live there. So it's quite likely that people buying along the south side of this development won't leave their wine glasses sitting on a loose table. They'll be well secured for the jittery times. But these are facts when you live near a railroad of that size. Jacqueline Clement and Lynn Van Roon both made comments about the Red River Trail, largely an issue with regard to a north-south trail. The city administration was not interested in a north-south trail along the edge of Area 2, and any trail in that zone would have to be within Area 2 proper. Also, speaking to development of Area 2, this area of 25 to 30 acres of new development potential would yield perhaps 100 to 120 homes if fully developed, but like most other areas in Charleswood, it will require the cooperation of owners, as we will see as we move forward. The seven owners there have much to gain by working together. There is a great common interest in the value of the forests within that land, and they also need services and they need roads. The roads that we are providing from the south and west, along with the other services, will make their development quite feasible. And they also have a number of means of exiting out onto Charleswood Road as well. The most important access we provide for development in that area is access to an oversized sewer, which would hook up to the lake system which we're creating. And that very much has to be central to the development of that area to be feasible at all. The idea of an additional access, I think, is, although it would appear to be diminishing one person's ability to develop on his own, the fact is that people have to cooperate in this area in order to get development of an urban nature, and those services are available from the Midwest area.
About having a kind of a break, having a one or two lots, is that what you're talking about?
If you can see the major access here, like adjacent to the east end of the North Lake we propose to provide, will be the one that offers land drainage. Like the development of this area, especially given the variety of grade that will be found with the forest that will no doubt want to be maintained and preserved, we're going to have to get land drainage in there that will work and allow the original drainage to stay as is so that we don't change the drainage patterns of that forest much. And for that, you need land drainage. You're going to need a new pond, and that land drainage is going to be key to development of that. And it is right in the middle there. So we are happy to work with the citizens in Area 2, the owners. We have a little strip of land north of our east-west collector at the south end of Area 2. And to that extent, I can't see anything wrong with us participating in a planned development for Area 2. We'd be very happy to do that. We certainly don't want to make it appear that we're cold to Mr. Van Roon Sr. I've very much enjoyed meeting the man, and and we've heard from his daughters as well, and I think the ideas that would come for development in Area 2 with that family and the other families in there will be very interesting, and we'd be happy to participate in it. Now, that, I believe, summarizes my thoughts on the voices that I've heard from others here. Is there anything I missed, Donovan, or do you want to wrap it up? You better talk about that because you still know.
Okay. Okay, Eric covered all of the notes, with the exception of one concern of Alan Roberts with respect to the pedestrian crossing of William R. Clement Parkway, and the precinct plan does require that. So I didn't have anything further to add other than to thank the community members, and also I took a lot of credit from people for adjusting that roadway, but it was more other people on the team, including McGowan and Genevar. So thank you for hearing us.
Questions? Eric, you're on back.
I just wanted to go back through your report that you submitted with proposed amendment. In terms of the last page, the limitation on building and the requirements for a traffic study.
Yes.
You've got requesting approval of 500 unit limit.
Yes, the land development becomes very much a train in motion. Mm-hmm. And for us to get to the point where we would have 300 finished homes, the front of that development process would have already produced probably 500 lots, some of which would be our own development in progress and the builder's inventory as well. And, of course, we recognize that it's important to make sure the numbers were right on the from the traffic engineers and make sure we're doing it right. We respect that there may be required a pause in development in order to come up with alternatives. But I don't want to stop very quickly when people are just buying homes going, what? How come you're stopping? Is there nothing going on? And the show homes disappear and we're just building out and then we have to start moving the train all over again. It's my hope that with ongoing study and some work done well before the 300-unit time, that we learn enough that we're comfortable with continuing on.
So is there maybe sort of, like, I don't want to interrupt your flow either because we have a traffic study that needs to occur, but I also want to balance the needs in the community, particularly on Dale, Cullen, all of those streets where traffic is expected to possibly increase. So I want to balance the needs of the existing community while the growth continues. Is there a way to say that at 300 units, we're going to begin the traffic study, and by the time you are at 400 units, perhaps you are completed and we have some recommendations maybe, and you know, we can ask the administration this after you step down, but is there a way to sort of have that in place at that lower 300 to 400 range so that we're not impeding the progress, but that we are ensuring the community is in a good position traffic-wise?
Well, I think I mentioned earlier, I'm always learning on this job, and about a month ago in a meeting with Cindy, I heard the traffic engineers talking amongst themselves, and there is a set of assumptions that that are built into the traffic study right now, and there is a possibility at least that such things as provision of transit service and the ease of certain alternatives other than Dale might result in a situation where we don't expect to hit the peak load that that may occur. So if there's no bus service and everybody wants to go to the Dale and Roblin Shopping Center every morning, we're going to have trouble. But if people find that Wilkes is a viable way to get to the rest of the city and transit provides some relief from trips, then we might find out as we go along that that concern is basically moot.
So but, are you flexible?
It's our intention is to study regularly as we
are
can.
Are you flexible in that to a certain degree, the 500 limit?
Well, we're going to have to stop. You know, as we move along and introduce our servicing plans every year, Public Works is among the many that review these plans and allow us to go ahead. So we're going to have to stop if Public Works isn't happy.
Okay.
In 300 terms of occupancies and 500 lots, yeah.
In terms of tree maintenance, currently in the report, it's recommending maintenance of trees for a period of 2 years, and you would like that cut down to one?
The development agreement parameters, the standard practice here is 1 year of maintenance. And generally, our program is plant trees in the fall. The city inspects them this following spring, and in the quickest review process, the city at present has about 18 months of effective warranty in any event. The concern is that it doesn't really take a year and a half. It usually takes 2 years already. And if we allow for inspection time, we're really talking 3 years. The most important thing we've found in ensuring that trees stay healthy is educating the homeowners adjacent to the boulevards where these trees are. And we do that on our websites and with handouts when we plant our trees. And with that, we've found much success and a very low rate of attrition.
Okay. We'll continue that with the administration. In terms of some of the delegations we heard presenting, the Pembina Trail, they're awaiting a report, the Historical Society. Are there some commemorative opportunities should the report reveal that there is a trail pattern? What can be done to accommodate or create some opportunities there?
Well, we've got a trail plan that basically goes southwest through the area, coming from the forest in the northeast, or from directly down from the Cullen zone there. But generally, we have a north-south element to this thing, and I think that the whole trail would be enriched if there was some recognition of this general route being something that was used to avoid flooded areas to get down to areas like Oak Bluff and beyond. I think that would be a good thing. Yeah, we have space in the, you know, for like we've got some space for looking at that sort of thing. Absolutely.
Okay.
I now understand why they call it the Pembina Trail School Division, for example.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Nothing else?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Donovan, do you have anything else? Okay. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. For the administration.
Subsequent report here with the revisions, it's fairly self-explanatory. The one important aspect, though, is the traffic. And I just want some clarification from you, Cindy, if you could, on what would be an acceptable level of units completed, and is a transitionary period, I guess, possible in doing a traffic study, say, while at 300, that's the indicative point of when this study would occur, and say by 400 is completed. I understand where the applicant is coming from with that.
Right. So when we wrote our conditions, we had said that we wanted a limit of 400 units on the application, because that's when on Dale Boulevard, one segment will be at the what we call 5,000 vehicles per day. That's when it would reach that based on some of those F400 units. But that's based on some of the items that Eric referred to that were exemptions. Like they had assumed a distribution split, some traffic going north, some going south. That may not be the case. There might be more that goes north or there might be more that goes south. They also didn't put in any reduction factors, so they didn't reduce anything for transit. They didn't reduce anything for the traffic that might come from the existing Charleswood through the new area instead of going to Dale, so we might see a little bit of a shift there. So I think our 400 limit is okay, and we wanted to review it at 300, so if there were any issues, it could be resolved before we get to that 400 limit. But with that being said, if we moved the limit to 500, it would generate, based on what they assume for distribution, it would generate approximately 275 more vehicles on Dale at that location. So that would be like 5,200 vehicles we'd be looking at. So that falls within our daily variation. We expect traffic to vary daily by 10%. That falls within that. So we would be okay with that as well. But we'd want to keep our review at the 300 so we can still, and their consultants will do the review and will work with us throughout the steps. So then if issues do come up, we either resolve them or we can put a stop on it.
Good. On the tree maintenance portion, did somebody want to comment on that?
I want to point out, I'm quite familiar with the development agreement parameters, and I don't actually see a one-year maintenance period for trees in there. I see one-year maintenance period for sodding, and acknowledging that has been the practice over the years, notwithstanding in the past few years, the way the clauses are written are that we adhere to what the parameters say regarding sodding 1 year, and tree maintenance is according to Parks Guidelines, which is a sub-document of the development agreement. So, doesn't say that.
So,
the parameters don't say that.
It's been assumed. So. And it has more to do with the inspection period and everything else. So, in all, they'll probably have the same warranty period, even though it's set at 2 years. Just leave it.
Okay, I have no more questions, and I'm ready to leave on this.
Okay.
Well, that concludes the discussion on this. Do we have a motion?
Okay. I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye. I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor? Aye.